This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live from London, England, it's Paul Joseph Watson with Summit.News.
Are we all live? It is the Summit News Hour. Welcome back to another show. And, of course, the dreaded Delta variant of coronavirus is apparently sweeping through the United States, requiring the reintroduction of mask mandates, potentially new lockdown orders. Well, we've already had that situation here in the UK for the past several months, with the fear-mongering over this Delta variant providing yet another justification for authorities to lock down, for government advisers to say that not locking down will basically result in 200,000 plus cases a day. Once again, they've been proven spectacularly wrong. The cases are dropping. And the interesting phenomenon that you're seeing here in the UK, from all the media outlets, from all the so-called government experts, from all the lockdown zealots, is that they're crestfallen. They're really sad. They're really in the mud about the fact that the coronavirus infection cases, the official record that they say, of course, when it goes up, that how could anyone doubt it? Forget about false positives. Forget about the fact that, of course, as I've talked about before, when people do Freedom of Information Act requests, they find out that the people who go into hospital with no comorbidities, they account for far less of the actual total. In fact, they said 10% of the official death toll was actually related to COVID alone without any comorbidities. So you can trust the official death tolls when they announce them on the media, the official in daily infection rates. But when they start going down, oh, suddenly you can't trust them. So now that we've had seven straight days of cases dropping in the United Kingdom, the sage experts, the government advisors, the arch lockdown advocates are saying, well, these numbers can't be accurate. There must be something else going on here. Again, it's like the weather. It's like global warming. When it gets hot in summer, they say, oh, this is proof of global warming. But then also when it gets really cold in winter, they say that's also proof of global warming. Whatever statistic is delivered up just miraculously underscores their entire case. Well, they are in the mud because we've had today the announcement that COVID cases have fallen every day for a week. This is out of the Daily Skeptic, dailyskeptic.org. COVID cases across the UK have fallen for a seventh day in a row, reaching 23,511 on Tuesday. This is the lowest number recorded in a single day in the whole of July. And boy, are they mad about it. They're all over Twitter saying, oh my God, we can't explain this. What's going on? We were promised 200,000 COVID infections a day. We were promised that we could blame it on the lifting of lockdown restrictions, and they're just not delivering the numbers to us. As Michael Curzon writes, sage panjandrums, those are the UK government advisors that admitted using totalitarian tactics to brainwash the British public, have been trotting out excuses for why they got this so wrong. According to Mail Online, the top contenders are the vaccine rollout, school holidays, the end of the Euros, warmer weather, the pingdemic. So they're suddenly saying that because the kids have broken up for the school holidays, the summer half term, that there are way less tests, and that's why there are way less coronavirus cases. Because even if the kids are completely asymptomatic, they're not getting ill, they're not going to hospital, they need those positive tests so they can use these scaremongering numbers in the media to force the government back into lockdown. But then when you look at the actual number of tests being carried out, they haven't changed. They've barely changed over the past 2 weeks, even after the kids broke up from school. So basically they're in a blind panic because they thought the narrative would be established that lifting lockdown restrictions leads to a massive spike in cases so they can lock down again and credit the lockdown for bringing those cases down once again. It's not working. They're in a blind panic and it's hilarious. And we'll talk about it on the other side. Summit, don't news, don't go away.
As we predicted, the globalists are now launching a new lockdown. The first one has already destroyed the third world, already caused over 20 million extra people to starve to death, and it's caused massive supply chain problems across the Western world. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time for you to get high-quality, storable food that's ready to ship while you still can at 2020 prices. We have the biggest, best company in the United States as our supplier. Their entire catalog is at InfoWarsStore.com. You get an additional 10% off at InfoWarsStore.com, but only for one more week. They've told us you can extend it one more week, Alex, but that's it. They won't do this sale again until November, and then the food prices go up in 2022. This is insurance you can eat. It's the highest quality, hundreds of high-quality foods, 3 months, 6 months, year supplies, all ready for you at InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free, 888-253-3139. Again, InfoWarsStore.com, 10% off on high-quality durable food, ready to ship, but it ends in just 1 week, so take action now while you still can.
Transmitting worldwide from the Summit.News studios in the United Kingdom, you are listening to Paul Joseph Watson.
So we've had a drop in cases for seven straight days in the United Kingdom, and the people who actually want the cases to keep rising, they want more hospitalizations, more deaths, so they can continue the fear-mongering and lobby for more lockdown. They're devastated. They're absolutely devastated that less people are getting infected with COVID, that fewer people are dying. And you've actually had scientists, government advisors come out and say that because we had the Euro Championships, which is the soccer tournament, which most Americans don't give a damn about, don't even barely know what it is. But basically it was a soccer tournament over the past month or so. It ended about 2 weeks ago. But what you had was large groups of mainly men congregating indoors without masks, without social distancing. They were all hugging each other when the team scored during the period of a month. Now, that seems to have the effect of an initial spike in coronavirus cases, but not a massive increase in hospitalizations. And yet, a development now that coronavirus cases, even with the dreaded Delta variant, have been falling over the past week, seems to have had the effect of creating, whisper it in hushed tones, herd immunity, which of course was the foundation, the basis of how society reacted to any previous pandemic in history. Suddenly back in March 2020, that went completely out of the window because the globalists wanted their great reset. They wanted endless lockdowns. They wanted endless mask mandates. Herd immunity became a dirty phrase, and yet that seems to have been exactly what happened over the past few weeks in England, in the United Kingdom, because you had large groups of mainly men congregating to watch the football. They were hugging each other. This is what Professor Paul Hunter said of the University of East Anglia, and you can tell in his quote that he's quite despondent about the fact that this happened, but ultimately is still acknowledging that it did happen. He says, a lot of people might be disgusted by me saying this, but ultimately the Euros, that's the football tournament, might turn out to be one of the things that make the rest of the summer less stressful, as we've effectively immunized a lot more younger people who wouldn't otherwise have come or been available for a vaccine. He says, but I would stress, I would never suggest that as a control strategy in advance. So he's basically admitting that because all these young people got together, didn't wear masks, didn't social distance, were in very close proximity, that some of them got coronavirus. They were not ill. Most of them were asymptomatic. The vast majority did not need to go to hospital. There's basically nothing wrong with them. But now they've got the antibodies and now they're immune. That used to be called herd immunity. That's exactly what we should have done at the start of the pandemic. That's what Sweden, that's what Belarus did at the start of the pandemic. They trusted their citizens. They didn't impose mandatory legal lockdowns. They didn't impose mandatory mask wearing. They had lower death rates than the UK because herd immunity works. And now it's being proven by these coronavirus infection rates dropping over the past week in the United Kingdom after We had large groups of people congregating to watch the football. Some of them got the virus. Most of them got the antibodies. Now we've got herd immunity, and that's the reason why the cases are dropping. And they are in desperation mode right now. Headline again out of the Daily Skeptic here, because, of course, they're still pushing for vaccine passports, despite the fact that they say even people who have taken the vaccine can contract the virus and spread the virus. This is why vaccine passports make absolutely no sense, because they've removed the option to enter venues such as nightclubs, cinemas, sporting events. They've removed the option of providing a negative COVID test. We saw the same situation in France. That's completely out the window. Yet they'll allow people to rock up to these nightclubs, these cinemas, prove they've been vaccinated, yet by the same token admit that vaccinated people can still be infected with COVID. Which proves what? It proves they're not bothered about people spreading COVID. They're bothered about people taking that shot. What's the point in mandating vaccine passports and saying you can't have a negative test at the same time if you admit that these vaccinated people can still harbour and spread the virus? It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Michael Gove says there's a strong case for the introduction of vaccine passports in appropriate locations, such as Premier League football matches. Again, they're trying to get young people to take this vaccine because 35% of 18 to 30-year-olds have not taken the vaccine thus far. They're very paranoid about scooping up those final refuseniks because, again, they're very concerned about the virus spreading, despite at the same time acknowledging that people who have taken the vaccine can still spread the virus. Makes zero sense whatsoever. But he argued that everything we can do in order to reduce the risk of COVID transmission, we should. Well, you've eliminated negative COVID tests, so you're literally doing the opposite of that. He hopes that some form of certification will be introduced across all four nations in the UK. This, he believes, is the right way to go. Bear in mind, this is the same person who months ago promised that vaccine passports were discriminatory, would never be introduced, that the government was considering it, and they've been planning it all along. In an interview with the BBC, Gove said that vaccine passports would make sure we can have greater confidence that big events are not likely to be super spreader events. None of them were super spreader events. In fact, they mentioned this in the article. Gove appears to have forgotten the results from 10 recent government trial events. These were run by the government. These identified just 28 positive COVID test results among 58,000 participants without the use of vaccine passports. So even without the use, there are very, very few positive COVID cases when they've had these test events of large numbers of people congregating. Despite all this, Gove insists the case for certification overall is a strong one. It's not a strong one. There's literally no evidence whatsoever for it. And their own plan contradicts the supposed goal of what they're trying to achieve because they've eliminated the negative COVID tests. You can still take that vaccine and you can still have the virus. So they've literally made it more likely that people are going to spread the virus because they've eliminated the negative test, the option of the negative test. So are they really concerned about spreading the virus? Continues, this is exactly the sort of nonsense that Hugh Osman, founder of Punch Taverns, criticized on Sunday when he highlighted that under government plans, someone who is fully vaccinated but has COVID will be allowed into a large venue, but someone who is unvaccinated yet doesn't have COVID will be barred. So even if you've got the antibodies, you've got the immunity to COVID, but you haven't taken the clot shot, you won't be allowed in. Eventually, you probably won't be allowed into pubs and restaurants if they get their way, as we've seen in France. But again, the only proof they need is the proof that you submitted, that you caved in, that you took the jab. You could still be infectious. You could still be spreading it. Doesn't matter. That's not what they care about. They care about you submitting to this vaccine. Related story here out of Zero Hedge. Majority of hospitalized COVID patients in UK only tested positive after admission. Oh, my God. Proving us right once again. Over half of those hospitalized with COVID-19 in the UK only tested positive after admission, suggesting that vast numbers are being classed as hospitalized by COVID when they were admitted with other ailments. So they go into the hospital, they go into emergency care with other serious conditions. Whatever happens with those conditions during their admission to hospital, which is mandatory now, they test them for COVID. They test positive for COVID, and even though they have no symptoms, they're not ill from COVID, they're ill from a completely different reason, those hospital admissions are treated as COVID cases, so then they get to add that to the official government toll, and they get to present that in the media and strike the fear of God into everyone with these rising numbers. You'll note that even across the past week, with declining COVID infection rates, the hospitalization figures are still going up because they're counting everyone who goes into hospital basically as a COVID case. It says the takeaway, off-cited statistics published daily may far overstate COVID hospitalizations and consequently pressures on the National Health Service. So they can then use this to grease the skids for yet another lockdown by claiming the NHS can't handle the pressure. We'll get into more on the other side. Summit.news, don't go away.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
You're listening to the Summit.News Radio Hour with Paul Joseph Watson.
So we have a majority of hospitalized COVID patients in the UK only testing positive after admission. They're going into hospital for treatment for ailments that are not related whatsoever to COVID-19, but they're getting recorded as COVID-19 cases, so they can then add that official number onto the official daily toll of hospitalizations and ramp up the rhetoric, ramp up the fear-mongering for further lockdowns. Again, I've spoken about it many times. Someone did a Freedom of Information Act request to the UK government. It's still on the ONS official government website. They asked how many people now the official death toll had died from COVID alone with no other comorbidity listed on the death certificate, and the total was about 8.9%. So 8.9% of the official COVID death toll is the actual COVID death toll. So it's literally 10 times fewer people officially have died of COVID, and now they're doing a similar thing with the hospitalization numbers. And even so, the infections are falling, and these lockdown zealots are big mad about it. They want those deaths, they want those infections climbing higher and higher and higher, because they've joined this cult where they want to remain under lockdown forever and status symbol, like they're some kind of part of the scientific elite, so they can continue to virtue signal. For example, by wearing masks on empty trains and then tweeting about it. We had this headline yesterday. Labour councillor ridiculed for bragging about wearing a mask on an empty train. Basically, there wasn't anybody there to justify her subservience, to reward her with a wink and a nod of the fellow compliant sheep. And she was very disappointed about that. So she felt the need to take a picture of herself on a completely empty train carriage with absolutely no other human in the vicinity to show to everyone that she's a good person and she's still wearing a mask, even though there's literally, even if you believe that this mask is effective, no point whatsoever. There's no one else there. Who are you protecting? We know from even sage government advisors that they've said the cloth masks, the blue surgical masks that people wear, the virus particle, COVID-19 virus particle, is 5,000 times smaller than the holes in that blue surgical mask. The cloth mask that this idiot appears to be wearing, and this is a local government councillor, the COVID virus particle, according to the sage advisor, Dr. Axon, is 500,000 times smaller than the holes in that mask. So even if there were other people on the train, they go right through. So she's a complete idiot in every single regard, but again, the virtue signal is more important. She said, going to keep wearing my mask on public transport even when it's just me on the tube. Why? Why are you doing that? Like that meme. Here's the attention you ordered. These people are in a cult. When is this cult going to end? Well, no time soon, given the polling, because we had the Freedom Day, well, on the day that they announced the vaccine passports, oh my God, feel so free, last Monday, where the legal restrictions on wearing masks indoors, apart from on Sadiq Khan's tube, were lifted across the board. So if you go into a restaurant, a pub or a shop, you don't have to do that ridiculous, absurd pantomime show where you have to wear the mask if you get up from the dinner table to go to the bathroom. We have to wear the mask for the 5 yards that it takes you to walk from the door to the table, because apparently that's where the virus exists. As soon as you sit down, it disappears. But that was lifted on Monday. What effect did it have? Well, from anecdotal evidence, from what I saw, Not very much. The vast majority of people were still wearing masks in restaurants, in shops, because they'd been terrified and inducted into a cult. It's very hard to reverse that brainwashing. Headline survey finds most Brits still wearing face masks despite no legal requirement. A new survey has found that Brits in most age groups are still wearing face masks at the same rate after July 19, despite there being no legal requirement to do so. A YouGov poll finds that the only people in the youngest age group, 18 to 24-year-olds, have significantly reduced the wearing of face coverings since Freedom Day, when all restrictions were supposedly lifted. People aged 65-plus actually increased usage of wearing face masks. So the government came out and said, you don't have to wear them anymore, and they started wearing them even more. That's how deep the psychological behavioral manipulation has penetrated into their brainwashed psyche. Those aged 50 to 64 and 25 to 49 used them at roughly the same rate, so it had no impact on them whatsoever. The only bright spark in this poll was that among 18 to 24-year-olds following Freedom Day, 58% were using them beforehand. Now it's only 46%, so at least among young people it starts to drop. But again, from anecdotal evidence, you have this YouGov, which at every turn of the way in the lockdown has said that basically 80, 90% of the British public support lockdown. Anecdotally, you don't seem to find that. And in fact, when they asked people if they support self-isolation, quarantine measures for people returning from foreign countries, you know, you'd get figures of 50, 60, 70% supporting that mandate. But then when they actually asked them if they personally had followed through and complied and adhered with that mandate, it sunk down to 18% who had actually followed through and followed the law. So they're telling these pollsters that they support all these lockdown measures while their personal behavior is basically the exact opposite. But again, the government cites these polls, uses these polls to say, well, the public supports us, we need to lock down even more, despite the fact that the public isn't really adhering to the advice anymore. In fact, I was in several pubs during the course of the day on Saturday during the anti-lockdown protest in central London. Literally zero people in all the pubs that I went in were wearing masks at any point. Not when they went in, not when they went to the bathroom, not when they went up to the bar to order their drinks. Nobody was wearing a mask. But I have seen in shops, and it depends on where you go, where the level of obedience is higher than others, people still wearing masks. So it seems that the great divide on that point is going to fracture to an even greater degree. Now we have this. Conservative MP suggests government should consider mandating flu vaccination for young people to attend venues. Yes, it's not going to stop at coronavirus. Now we have the booster shots coming in a few months' time. For all the people who have apparently had a long-term immunity to coronavirus suppressed by taking the Pfizer vaccine. Gee, I thought the vaccine was supposed to give you immunity against the virus. No, you're going to need to get jabbed every 6 months. Oh, and by the way, now they're calling for mandatory flu shots, and they're calling for people who don't take a mandatory flu shot to be barred from restaurants, from cafes, from pubs, from cinemas, from shopping malls, from public transport, from education. Conservative MP Andrew Morrison asked the UK government's vaccine minister whether authorities ought to consider mandating the standard flu vaccine before allowing young people to enter crowded venues. He said 22,000 people died from seasonal flu in 2017-18. The modelling, the much reliable modelling that said we've had 500,000 people dead and 200,000 cases a day, that modelling, really reliable, suggests this year's season would start early vis-a-vis and will affect younger people more than COVID. But wait, you told us that flu had disappeared. I thought it had gone completely. Or were you just including flu deaths within coronavirus deaths to boost the fear artificially? Gee, I wonder. We'll be back.
But I'll tell you who's got 5-star ratings when it comes to customer service. I'll tell you who built his network and infrastructure and has thousands of employees here in the United States and sources materials all over North America and from Africa as well, which he's proud of. That's where you get the good cotton and then they put it together here in the United States. And that is Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell is a patriot. Mike Lindell is fighting. He is bold. And he's got his products in stock, ready to ship to you. When you use promo code Alex, you get the best specials they've got, up to 66% off with promo code Alex. Whether it's their entire line of sheets or human beds that are revolutionary and very, very popular, or animal beds for dogs and cats, or the great towels or the pillows that they're best known for. And he's done great. His people are great. They've really come through and taken us out of the red into the black. So thank you all for shopping at MyPillow.com, up to 66% off with promo code Alex.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Listening to Summit.News with Paul Joseph Watson.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
So we're still listening to the same people here in the UK that have been proven spectacularly wrong time and time again. Why these people are still given platforms by the mainstream media, God only knows. Well, we do know. We do know because they are arch lockdown skeptics. They want to keep us under lockdown forever. Despite the fact that they're completely not credible in any way imaginable. You have Dr. Professor Neil Ferguson. This is the guy who took the first lockdown so seriously after he predicted 500,000 people would die in Britain as a result of the coronavirus in the initial few months, unless you did exactly what he said. He took it so seriously that he had a married mistress travel back and forth across London, as did he, to meet him. During that draconian first lockdown when people were only allowed to leave their own homes for exercise and to buy food, this hypocrite had his married mistress travelling back and forth to service him because he treated the virus, the pandemic, so seriously. This guy's still on BBC News, still on Sky News, fear-mongering about the lockdown, about the pandemic. Why? He doesn't treat it seriously, so why should anyone listen to him? This is the guy, we have the headline here. Government advisor who warned of 200,000 COVID cases a day faces scrutiny after dramatic fall in UK infections. He said, this is what he said the day before Freedom Day, on the 18th of July. He said, it's very difficult to say for certain, but I think 100,000 cases a day is almost inevitable. Adding, the real question is, do we get to double that or higher? We could get to 200,000 cases a day. Well, we're at about 23,000 today, and that's even with the manipulated numbers of the people who get tested when they go into hospital and they've got other comorbidities way more serious. They test them for COVID. He warned of major disruption to the NHS. He said that Freedom Day, even though it's not freedom, but it's at least a lifting of restrictions to some extent, was a complete disaster. He's been proven wrong yet again. How many more times are we going to listen to him? A sign that they're getting desperate, though, is this headline, which I put up about an hour ago. Podcaster says he was offered significant money by UK government to push COVID info. So people don't trust the likes of Matt Hancock, who also got caught snogging his aide in total violation of social distancing rules that he imposed on everyone else, similar to Professor Neil Ferguson. People no longer trusting those kind of people because they violated their own rules multiple times. So now they're having to go to radio hosts, to celebrities, to influencers, literally offering them cash to amplify government narratives on coronavirus because people are increasingly less inclined to listen to government advisors. A podcaster says he was offered a significant amount of money by the UK government to push COVID information but refused, instead asserting that people should, quote, speak to your doctor. This is Tim Cocker, who has nothing to do with the medical profession whatsoever. He presents sports events on Virgin Radio and on BT Sport. So absolutely no medical expertise whatsoever. Yet the UK government is going to him offering large, significant sums of cash to talk about vaccines and coronavirus. Smacks of desperation a little bit, doesn't it? He tweeted this earlier. Being offered and declined significant amount of cash to give COVID information to my podcast listeners. He said, one, if you want COVID information, speak to your doctor. He said, two, how many podcasts got the same offer? How much of our money is government spending on this? And this is interesting because just 2 days ago, the media had a big flap, a big controversy over some YouTubers in Europe blowing the whistle on the shadowy PR agency out of Russia, the big boogeyman as ever, that was apparently offering cash to influencers on social media, on YouTube, to discredit COVID vaccines. Now, that was a massive story over the past couple of days in the UK. Will this be a massive story? The fact that this sporting podcaster, who has nothing whatsoever to do with medical expertise, because presumably he's got quite a large audience, is being offered cash by the government to promote, amplify narratives, state authority, public health narratives on vaccines and on coronavirus. Do you think the media will be as interested in that? Don't hold your breath. Meanwhile, the masks in America are coming back, apparently. CDC reverses guidance, will mandate wearing of masks indoors, despite the fact that the coronavirus particle is at least 5,000 times smaller than the holes in that stupid, dumb mask. But the New York Times has confirmed with its sources that the CDC is expected to recommend on Tuesday, and it's probably happened by now, that people vaccinated for the coronavirus resume wearing masks indoors under certain circumstances, reversing a decision made just 2 months ago. And we know who they're going to end up blaming this on, the unvaccinated, who will become the great new minority group that gets discriminated against in every single major Western country. They see the Drudge Report, CDC masks back on in hotspots. Of course, they already had them in LA. As of last week, reintroducing that, there's an interesting graph that Zero Hedge links to in this article, and it plots the mask usage over the course of the past 18 months in comparison with coronavirus cases. And you'll note that despite the fact that mask usage after the initial period, when Fauci himself said that masks were completely useless in his own friggin' emails. Yeah, we forgot about that one, didn't they? The mask usage tracks almost vertically or horizontally across the graph. The cases, the infections go up and down. The masks have no impact on the infection rates whatsoever, but now they're reintroducing the masks. And Fauci himself has flip-flopped on masks, of course, as we know, on numerous occasions. And someone put together this great compilation of those flip-flops. Let's go to this clip right now. Here it is.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater.
Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective. And
but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
But if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
Are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? It looks like you are.
So they had Fauci again in his own emails in February 2020 saying masks were completely useless. And then I was writing articles up until a few months ago where they were literally saying you needed to wear 5 masks to have adequate protection, despite the fact, as I mentioned earlier, there's now even government scientists in the UK saying the virus particle with the surgical blue mask that most people are wearing is 5,000 times smaller than the holes in that frigging useless, pathetic pantomime virtue signaling mask. We'll be back in the next segment. Summit.news, don't go.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Live from the Summit.News headquarters, it's Paul Joseph Watson.
A case of us and them. They don't want you talking to each other. Literally, they don't want you talking to each other. We had the Australian top public health official last week coming out and saying, because they had one new case of coronavirus, because they've chosen to pursue this disastrous zero COVID insanity, that friends and neighbors shouldn't even talk to each other, even if they're wearing the precious, useless face masks in the supermarket. You shouldn't have conversations. Meanwhile, they're all not just rubbing shoulders, but literally hugging and slobbering all over each other at G7. Of course, the Democrats on the plane flying without masks. John Kerry walking through airports without masks. Governor Cuomo going to restaurants, fancy posh restaurants, indoor, no masks. Nancy Pelosi going to the hair salon, no masks. They can do whatever they please. You can't even talk to your neighbor. That's the situation that we have right now. They want you atomized. They want you alone. They also want you to not laugh at them. It's very important that us, the plebs, the great unwashed masses, don't have the facility to make fun of the global elite. And on that subject, I put out a video earlier today where the European Union is literally now, once again, after they failed in their first incarnation of trying to ban memes via ridiculous arbitrary copyright laws, are now trying to do so by claiming that people who make fun of both the elite and, quote, normies who believe everything they're fed by the mainstream media, people who try to laugh about that, try to make fun of that, try to build their own communities based around memes to provide solace, to provide company,
to provide socialization, that those people are evil right-wing extremists engaging in humor, and that they should be deplatformed, and all their artwork, which is essentially what memes are, should be banned, censored from the internet. Here is the video. Let's roll it. The unelected European Commission has released a strategy paper whining about the popularity and success of right-wing humour. The document is called, wait for it,
it's not funny anymore!
Okay, Karen, EU bureaucrats are wetting the bed over the power of memes to, quote, influence how we see the world and, quote, shape our views. Because God forbid anyone beside a bunch of despotic globalist empty suits in Brussels should be able to influence the world. They're particularly worried about how the Wojak meme and others are being adapted to ridicule, quote, normies who do not question the information that comes from mainstream press and politics. Oh my God, questioning the information that comes from mainstream press and politics? The sheer horror. They're pissing their pants at memes that help people to use humor to express condescension towards the elites. Because saying the emperor has no clothes must not be tolerated.
It's not funny anymore!
Yes, it is. The EU plans to infiltrate meme culture and align with social media influencers and progressives to lobby for even more censorship. Oh no, sorry, it's not censorship. They call it quarantining. Talk about a massive cope. Imagine being frightened of cartoon frogs. Imagine being such joyless dullards that you're forced to wield the powers of a giant continent-controlling supranational entity to censor jokes. The agenda here is painfully transparent. Throughout history, authoritarian elites have sought to clamp down on anything that makes fun of them. The power of ridicule and satire often outstrips the power of conventional activism. In the Soviet Union, comedians had to submit punchlines for state approval. But now, mainstream comedy in the West can be relied upon to amplify mainstream narratives to such a degree that this isn't at all necessary. Right-wing memes are so effective because in a world of sterile, anodyne, lecturing, NPC drivel, they're genuinely subversive. They're also effective because the left can't meme. There's no opposing force. Leftists are so transfixed with walking on sensitivity eggshells. They literally have to explain their memes with essay-length descriptions. That's not a meme. And having to explain a joke automatically makes it not funny. They can't compete with it. They can't replicate it. So they just have to eliminate it entirely. A study undertaken by researchers at University College London found that the most effective memes in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election largely originated in two places, the subreddit r/TheDonald, a forum devoted to boosting President Donald Trump, and 4chan's politically incorrect poll forum. A Vice write-up of the study acknowledges that the most effectively spread memes originated on the Donald and poll. The left can't meme. The right can. They're good at it, and that's why they're coming for your memes. Facebook is building algorithms to identify and censor memes. Instagram routinely fact-checks and removes memes, absurdly treating them like they're some kind of peer-reviewed study. Twitter changed its rules to target memes. The EU itself previously tried and failed to ban memes using copyright law. Even the Pentagon has declared war on memes. Why? Because they're all crap at memes. There's so little authentic meme culture on the left that giant transnational corporations like KFC are forced to appropriate right-wing Wojak meme culture to promote their chicken. The left is still so utterly incapable of grasping the basic reality that they've established a monopoly on culture, therefore have become the establishment. You can't be subversive, you can't be punk, you can't be edgy, while simultaneously being the establishment. They still think Orange Man Bad is an edgy statement.
Orange Man. Bad.
They continuously assert that punching down is no longer a justifiable form of comedy, while continually punching down. Sacha Baron Cohen humiliating Hicks. Stephen Colbert vilifying stupid Trump supporters. Virtually every metropolitan middle-class comedian on the BBC laying into dumb working-class Brexit voters or lockdown skeptics. It's all punching down.
It's okay when we do it.
In summary, the left can't meme, the establishment can't meme, the European Union certainly can't meme, but you know what they can do. Ban all the memes. And rest assured, that's precisely what they're working on.
There you have it. And again, the point is that much of the meme culture on the right is very obscure. It's not even intended to reach out to newbies, to normies. It's intended to provide a kind of comfort blanket for people within those communities to socialize with each other. And they're even coming for them. You can't even socialize with each other. You can't even build forums, private forums based around memes. They just won't have you talking to each other, as I mentioned with the Australian public health official, who said you can't even talk to your own neighbours in the supermarket now. Moving on, though, London Mayor Sadiq Khan completely ignores Speaker's Corner stabbing a woman wearing Charlie Hebdo T-shirt. So we had a big protest on Saturday, an anti-lockdown protest, where a woman gave some spicy comments about NHS workers and the vaccine, and they were a bit spicy. Sadiq Khan immediately came out and vilified her, said that he'd personally spoken to the Metropolitan Police in London in the hope that she would be hunted down and punished for her comments. The very next day, we had a shocking incident where a woman at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park wearing a Charlie Hebdo T-shirt was stabbed in the face in broad daylight by an assailant who still hasn't been caught. I guess if the assailant had posted a spicy meme or talked bad about the NHS, he would have been in prison within minutes. But this guy who ran up to a woman, a 39-year-old Christian preacher who left Turkey after renouncing Islam for Christianity, slashed her across the face in broad daylight at 3:30 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon and then just walked off. With literal police cars 10 yards away, they failed to stop him, they failed to catch him. Well, she's got no coverage whatsoever from at least the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, who hasn't tweeted about this the last time I checked at least, and has completely ignored the situation completely. The woman fell to the floor, she had a big slash across her forehead. Police asked people to, quote, not speculate on the motive for the attack. Oh, gee, I wonder. She's at Hyde Park Speaker's Corner, which has become notorious for mobs of Muslim men bullying and intimidating Christian preachers. She gets a slash across the face. She's wearing a Charlie Hebdo T-shirt. Oh, but we don't know what the motive is. Gee, I wonder. I wonder. Despite a knife being found and there being multiple witnesses to the attack, Metropolitan Police have not yet caught the culprit, but if he posted a spicy meme about the NHS, they would have got him in under lock and key within 5 minutes. Zero Hedge reported, as evidenced by the sirens blaring nearby the scene in the video, police appeared to be nearby. They literally surround the entire area with like three police cars. This guy walks up, slashes her across the face, runs off, and they can't catch him. And they're saying, don't speculate on the motive. London Mayor Sadiq Khan failed to acknowledge the incident at all, something that undoubtedly wouldn't be the case if the roles had been reversed. Meanwhile, he's literally in the media crucifying a woman at an anti-vaxxer protest because she said some spicy things about the NHS. That apparently is the real crime. That's going to wrap it up. Summit.news, don't go away. War Room with Owen Troyer is coming.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.